And joining us this morning with a legislative update from Olympia, State Senator Keith Gaynor. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're cold here in North Central Washington. It's very negative 12 in Winthrop this morning. It's a little a little nippy. Let's get right into it because there's so much going on in Olympia. You and I were talking briefly before we came on the air about this parental rights issue. This is kind of blowing up down there. Tell us more if you could.
Well, we debated it on the Senate floor last week on Wednesday, and since then it has actually gone national. It's gotten national exposure because it really separates the parents from the children, and I think that's really critical that parents stay engaged in their kids' educational, not only the material part of it. What we're talking about now is medical needs. Even criminal activity toward them, where they've been involved, you know, with law enforcement questioning them, the notification of parents. I mean, for me personally, I would think, you know, immediate notification. Parents should be notified right away. But they started out in the bill allowing up to 48 hours, basically letting the school decide what was appropriate to share with the parents. And we did get a couple of amendments approved that, at least for criminal activity, you know, it is immediate notification. But some of the medical concerns, it's still up to the school to decide when it's appropriate to notify the parents. And that's troubling, you know, to me personally.
What justification do they give for usurping parental rights?
Well, I think, you know, there's a bigger issue here. And one is that they feel like there are parents that are not engaged with their kids, or they don't approve of their kids' behaviors. And it does come back to the gender issues that we've been dealing with, where, you know, if things are going on at school that are not going on at home, and if the school feels like, you know, the parents aren't sympathetic enough or whatever, they may determine that, you know, we don't need to tell the parents exactly what we're even prescribing for the kids. So it's that's kind of in my mind, that's the basis of it, and that's why the medical thing was not one that was immediate notification.
Wow, I'm sure more to come on that subject. Also, free meals. There's a lot of discussion regarding that issue. Can you tell us about that?
Well, I was interested. You know, we get a list of which bills had the most testifiers, and it was incredible when you realize that the free meal bill was the one that had the most, and it had, I guess we had about 3,600 people sign up to comment, and it was 2/3 against the complete free meal program. And so that was interesting to me, but it was also, I was interested that there was that much interest in that particular bill.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the big concerns that those folks shared? Can you tell us about that?
Since it's not on my committee, I haven't heard any feedback on that. I was just, I just see the statistics here that show that was the most response on any bill last week that we had here in Olympia.
I know you're working on a lot of housing issues. Any progress on that front?
Well, yes, there are some good things that are happening. We're creating more opportunities for housing. And the reality is that, you know, if we don't, you know, change some of the standards that we have, when I say standards, not in a way of minimizing or undermining anything, but just changing what we're allowing as far as build out, we're not going to have, those housing opportunities. So I did get a bill out of committee last week, one of my bills, which was having to do with middle housing in rural areas. And what it does is it allows people that live in rural areas to to have more than just a single family residence. So you could have a duplex or triplex, you know, in a rural area. And oftentimes in rural areas, people just need a place to live, and they're not necessarily looking for, you know, a big home, but they're working in the rural area. They can actually stay closer to their job, and really it helps meet some needs. And we've had a number of bills that have actually been kind of tweaking some of the standards, I guess, as far as the criteria, I guess, for what we have with home building. So I'm hopeful that, none of these are going to be a silver bullet, but each one may be just an incremental opportunity that will get us closer to having more housing. So there's a lot, as I said, there's a lot going on in both the House and the Senate. And as the bills start, you know, coming back and forth, we'll, I'm sure we'll, you know, kind of sort out which ones will actually make it through and create those additional opportunities for people.
What other hot button issues are you seeing in Olympia this year?
Well, law enforcement retention and hiring is a big topic. You know, and quite honestly, a lot of these things are all tied into, well, we need more money. And honestly, with all the budgets, particularly the operating and transportation budgets, we have some significant holes to fill to balance our budget. So although we've got some good ideas, I mean, if you're going to try and, you know, provide grants for local jurisdictions to hire more law enforcement or you have retention bonuses, that money has to come from somewhere. So as much as there are some good intentions, the reality right now is that I haven't heard exactly what will be scaled back, but we have to be scaling something back. And unfortunately, what we're hearing more about is increased revenue rather than actually reassessing what we've committed. So I think, you know, the whole budget discussion may shape a lot of the policy that actually gets passed, because most of this policy does have, you know, fiscal notes attached to them. So it'll be an interesting next couple of weeks as kind of start. We will be getting another revenue forecast here toward the end of March. And I think at that point, that will really start to, we'll have to do some pretty serious, you know, decision making as far as what we can and can't do going forward.
Do you feel this legislature has heard Governor Ferguson and are trying to build a budget that follows what he has suggested, or is it more of the same?
Well, that's an interesting question, because we're not really sure what some of the people in the legislature, how much they want to go with the governor, because I felt like the governor was pretty practical in the things that he was saying. I'm just being very realistic about the financial condition we're in, what we can and can't do going forward, and some of the things we may have to reevaluate. And I thought it was just a very kind of a check in the direction we've been going. Is this really sustainable? And yet we see a lot of legislators who have come in with the idea that no, we're going further, you know, progressive. And I think that, you know, we need to really stop and take a good hard look at what kinds of things we've committed. Is that really something government should be doing? Can we actually make those kinds of commitments with the revenue that we have? And I honestly think that some of the revenue that we've collected needs to be invested in more, you know, practical means than some of the philosophical things that we've been pursuing.
So you're not hearing a lot about cuts. There's still just a lot of spending conversation.
I have not heard anything about cuts. In fact, going through the transportation budget, I mean, what we're doing right now is trying to determine exactly how deep the hole is, and then we will go back and start talking about, you know, cuts. And in my mind, you know, there are some things along the way, some programs that we've put in place that were really kind of nice things at the time, seemed like a good idea for somebody, but they're really not, you know, getting a real return on our investment. I think we should just say, you know, this is not something we can afford to continue. But until we get through, I mean, and they see, I guess, the reality of what the real budget hole is, I don't really see a lot of serious talk about, you know, curtailing some of the services that we have and some of the programs.
Wow. Well, this is going to shape up to be an interesting legislative session, to say the least. Any final thoughts you'd like to share with the community this morning, Senator?
Well, I'm thankful that it is a longer session so that we can hopefully have some good, well-thought-out discussions, because sometimes in a short session, you got to hurry up and decide what to do. And we do have, you know, some time, but it is time for us to, you know, to start making some of those decisions. So once again, as I always say, you know, people have thoughts or things that they think, you know, we should be considering, I welcome your input. So it's going to be an interesting few weeks ahead of us.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Well, Senator, we always appreciate you taking the time out to get us up to speed, and we appreciate all the service and work that you're doing for us.
All right. Well, thank you, Jeff.
Thank you very much. You bet. State Senator Keith Gaynor.